We are looking at verses from Surah Al-Hujurat, the surah that focuses on the development of character. In verse number 12, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs us, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu ijtanibu kathiran min al-dhan, inna ba'd al-dhan ithm. In this verse, Allah advises man abstain from much suspicion, surely some suspicion amount to sin. The verse then goes on to prohibit, وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا Do not spy on one another. وَلَا يَغْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا And do not backbite one another. And then it ends off by saying, أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَن يَأْكُلَ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ مَيْتًا فَكَرِهْتُمُوهُ Would any one of you like to eat the flesh of his brother who is dead? You would abhor it. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ And continue fearing Allah. Surely Allah is forgiving and merciful. So there are three things that have been prohibited in this verse. The verse is also related to the mutual rights and manners that are to be observed in the social life of a person. Now, the first thing is, اجتنبوا كثيرا من الظن. Abstain from many types of ظن. ظن primarily denotes assumption or probable evidence. The Quran says, abstain from many of the suspicions. And it gives the reason, it says, some suspicions are sin. It shows that not all types of suspicion are sin, but some of it. And thus it is incumbent now on the person who reads the Quran that Allah is saying that some types of suspicion is sin. So you need to find out what types of suspicion are sin, so that you may avoid it. If the uneasy feeling and the conviction that something is wrong, someone is guilty, or some danger is afoot is based on partial evidence and not confirmed by out-and-out evidence, it's not permitted to act upon it. The scholars, the jurists, the fuqaha have detailed accounts. Imam Qurtubi, rahimahullah, says that in this context, dhan connotes a accusation that is a charge of wrongdoing, as with guilt of crime, offense, or blame. Now, you can't charge someone without strong evidence. And one of the great commentators of the Quran, Imam Abu Bakr al-Jassas, in his Al-Ahkam al-Quran, he has mentioned that there are four categories with regard to dhan, when you talk of thoughts. The first is that which is prohibited, haram. What is unpermissible, the prohibited thoughts, distrust of Allah, or suspecting that to think ill of Allah in the way that Allah will punish you and He will keep you in calamity and He will not forgive you and will not show mercy for you, and thus leading to despairing and losing hope. That shouldn't be entertained. It is haram to think like that. Sayyidina Jabir bin Abdullah radiallahu anhu reports that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَا يَمُوتَنَّ أَحَدُكُمْ إِلَّا وَيُحْسِنُ الظَّنَّ بِاللَّهِ None of you should die without having favorable thoughts of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَنَا إِنْدَ ظَنِّي عَبْدِي بِي I treat my servants the way they think about me. And this shows that holding favorable thoughts about Allah is compulsory, and thinking ill about Allah is prohibited. Likewise, it is prohibited to entertain suspicion without rational grounds about Muslims whose outer conditions show that they are good and noble. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِيَّاكُمْ وَظَنَّ فَإِنَّ الظَّنَّ أَكْذَبُ الْحَدِيثِ Avoid suspicion, for suspicion is the worst of all false talks. So, dhan, by common consent of scholars, stands for thinking ill of a Muslim without any concrete proof. However, if there is a matter in which it is necessary to take a decision in either way, and there is no absolute and clear proof based on the Quran and Sunnah for that particular situation, then it is imperative to act on the strength of the best possible assessment. Islamic jurisprudence termed this as al-dhannul ghalib, that is, your overwhelming thoughts. And this is an approved practice in case that it comes into the law courts, or for settlement. In a court of law, a judge has to deliver a decision on the basis of the principle of the best possible assessment, relying on the testimony of peoples of worthy of confidence, even though there is the possibility that one of the witnesses at that particular moment might have lied. The testimony of the witness is based on the best assessment and not on absolute certainty. So the judge does not have direct knowledge of the fact of the matter, nor is there a transparent text in the Quran or in the Sunnah. And in cases like this, where one or the other decision has to be taken, and the absolute knowledge of the reality cannot possibly be attained, there is no way out but to formulate a judgment on the best possible assessment. So that is a second instance. So when is it prohibited to have bad thoughts? You have bad thoughts about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is prohibited. When is it wajib to have good thoughts or to practice on your thoughts as a judge? Similarly, when the direction of Qibla is not known, nor is there any person that can show the direction of Qibla, it is compulsory for one to determine it on the basis of your best possible assessment. If a person has destroyed a valuable thing of someone and a compensation has to be imposed, he is liable to pay the value on the best possible assessment. So those are your thoughts that you're going to practice upon, but yeah, you have to practice upon it. Then you have instances where thoughts are permissible. The example of permissible dhan is like that of a person performing salah. In the course of it, he then gets confused or he's not certain as to whether he performed 3 rakats or 4 rakats. He's permitted to apply his best possible assessment and to complete the salah accordingly. So if he thinks, is it 3 or 4, he asks himself, let me think. Okay, I think it's 4. So he goes with 4. I think it's 3. However, if he does not wish to apply this principle, he can also apply the principle of certainty, thinking that, look, it's 3 or 4, but I know for certain it's 3, so let me practice on 3 because that is certain. 4, I'm not sure. And that's why he'll take the lower number. That is also permissible. Now, then there are instances when it is desirable that you practice on your dhan, and that is about having favorable thoughts about every Muslim. And now this is rewardable. Imam Qurtubi rahimahullah said that in the incident of Ummul Mu'mineen Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, Allah says that لَوْلَا إِذِ سَمِئْتُمُوهُ ظَنَّ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتُ بِأَنفُسِهِمْ خَيْرًا. Why when, O believers, you heard of it, did the believing men and women not think well of their own selves? And this verse goes on to emphasize that you need to have good thoughts about fellow believers, that when any news comes to you, don't say, yeah, I suspected this type of behavior a long time, I knew it was coming, this was in the pipeline, I could gauge it. No, your immediate reaction should be that a Muslim is a good person, I should think well of every Muslim and not have bad thoughts about any Muslim. That is when it comes to matters that are not directly relevant to you. However, there's a different scenario also, and inna min al-hazmi su'udhan. It is prudent to be circumspect on your opinions of matters. Now, when does this come to the fore? So, when there is a need to be cautious, and that you can't just trust anyone, when it comes to handing over one's possessions to someone, then you can't just say, no, everyone is good, and you give that to a person, the person runs away with it. That is, you need to be precautious that this person, yeah, I'm giving it, but what if he steals it? Let me put in measures so that this person does not steal what I'm taking. Similarly, if you want to enter into a business partnership, you can't say, no, everyone's good, so I can enter into a partnership with anyone and everyone. No, you need to check the person's record, and if the person has in a record of doing people down, then you need to abstain. And that is part of inna min hazmi su'udhan. It's prudent to be very circumspect with your thoughts of people. Someone comes to propose for your daughter. You can't say, no, every Muslim is good, so let me accept it on the face of it. You need to do a thorough investigation. Ask his friends. Ask those that maybe his teachers, maybe his ustads. Do investigation. Even though I'm actually, I'm beginning to think that it's difficult to really come to know what you're getting yourself into when accepting a proposal of a boy. Because a bad habit that the person has, if he's smoking drugs very secretively, his ustad won't know about it unless it becomes really bad. You'll ask his family and neighbors. The close family may know, they won't speak, they may not know. It is only the friends who will truly know the person, but the friends won't speak, so it's become very difficult, and that's why you need to ask Allah a lot of help and guidance when accepting decisions, when making decisions of this nature. So, to sum up the first part of this verse, that we are instructed to abstain from some types of sin, thoughts. The reason is, you can see that there are times when it is necessary to have a very circumspect view. You shouldn't be just simple-minded and accept everything on its surface. May Allah give us the understanding.